नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद्भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे यदा संहरदे छायं कूर्मांगानिव सर्वश इंद्रियाणि इंद्रियार्थेभ्य तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिताः That's the words we are looking at it. Kurma Yoga. Krishna calls it as Kurma Yoga. So, yesterday we mentioned about this, that the mind has three states, Vikshiptam, Kashayam and Layam. Layam is the state when the mind gets dissolved, when the mind gets dissolved in sleep. That is Layam. Vikshipta means a continuous flow of thoughts which disturbs the mind and comes from Rajogunam, Vikshipta state. And in between, there is what is known as Kashaya state. Kashaya state means where due to a close association with Jadam, Jadam means dead matter, where there is no Chaitanyam, no living force, due to that close association with Jadam, the Buddhi also becomes Jadam, intelligence becomes Jadam, and the result of all that is that without any reason an unhappy state will develop inside, without any reason, simply due to association. There is no need for any, there is no particular reason for that. Normally we get disturbed or distressed due to something happening in this world, isn't it? But here, there's nothing happening just because you're associating with Jadam, with dead matter, a kind of unhappiness develops inside. Ashanti, they call it. Ashanti develops inside. And frustration from that. An emptiness inside. Kind of emptiness inside. This is called Kashaya Sthiti. The state of Kashaya Sthiti. So, when that situation happens, the only way you can escape from that is to be in contact with Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means living force. Generally, as I mentioned yesterday, Abhinav Vidyadutta mentioned this to one person, that if you cannot, if you find that situation happens in life, wherever there is the five material elements in its pure form is present, if you associate with them, you will be benefited. You will be benefited. Wherever the five material elements in its pure form is present, for example, the ocean, the sky, the hills, the mountains, rivers, they are all Krishna's vibhutis present in this world. And by being in contact with them, one will automatically free oneself from this Kashaya state. Kashaya state. Therefore, they are all Krishna's vibhutis. Actually, they are more powerful than the murti, the deities in the temple. Because deity we have, because it facilitates us to worship Krishna in that form. But these manifestations, like the sky, sea, ocean, and all great hills, Himalayas and things like that, they have much more effect on us because Krishna says, they are my vibhutis in this world, my presence in this world. So, you may know that in the many of the holy places, this Ashwatha tree, the banyan tree is there, and people go on circumambulating the Ashwatha tree, the banyan tree. Because Ashwatham, Krishna says among the trees, I am Ashwatham. So the sages who knew very well this situation with the mind, they have studied it so much in depth, that they have given us this understanding that simply by being in the presence of the vibhutis of Krishna or these manifestations of Krishna, one can come out of this state of consciousness. And then due to association with the jadam. Jadam means all these dead matter, dead things. Jada sambarkam. What happens to us, that emptiness will go if we come into contact with the live things. A river is a live thing. Ocean is a live thing. Even the sky is a live thing. There's activity is happening in the sky. The sky, the planets, the moon, the sun, everything is helpful. So, the main thing is that the devotees pray to Krishna like this. I have been blind all through my life due to association with the dead matter. My eyes are open, but my eyes inside is closed. Inside eye is closed. Therefore, please protect me. And to get help from Krishna, if Krishna asks, why should I help you? There is a clause there that the Krishna must help us because there is no other way that the soul which is conditioned, which is in contact with the matter, can come out of that consciousness. Can come out of that consciousness. So, this state of ajnanam, state of ignorance in us, which is very deep rooted in us, is discussed by all the great devotees also. What they say is, asare samsare nija bhajana dure jadadiya brahmandam. Asare samsare nija bhajana dure jadadiya brahmandam. Jadadiya means this jadam, this dead matter, I am absorbed in this. We are, by our pure nature, we are soul, spiritual we are. We are not material. But when we come into contact with this body, the dead matter, and when our activities are with the dead matter outside, that is called jadadiya brahmandam. That actually baffles us when we come into contact with the matter. It baffles us. So, nija bhajana dure jadadhyam. Only by discussing about the soul and only by engaging ourselves in spiritual thoughts, we can come out of this connection with the jadam, with the dead matter. That is why it is so important to be always in the association of those who are absorbed in the spirit, who are absorbed in the soul. Nija bhajana dhure jatadiyam. There is no other brahmandam. And brahmam has come to me. Brahmam means the kind of illusion in me that I am driven by this dead matter. And when we are spirit souls. We are not matter. But we are trapped in this illusion of jadam. Mamandham. Because of that, I have become blind. I have become blind. Blind in the sense that I lost my vision to look inwards. I have become very external, very gross in another way. That only I can understand from a gross level everything. I have lost my subtle vision and ultimately. Paramakribaya padumuchitam. It is then that your kripa, Krishna's mercy, must come. Madanyako dinastavakrupanarekshadinipuna todanyako vami trijagadishasya sharanya pashupade. That one who is capable of running this whole show in this creation, can he not show some mercy to us who wants to come to our pure spiritual identity and get us out of this situation? So, the devotees have prayed like this to Krishna, that somehow or the other, if you show some mercy, we can come out of this. Sometimes they threaten Krishna with this, or with their, with their, they say, that you have to threaten Krishna sometimes, otherwise it may not happen. We keep on thinking, I have tried to perform meditations. I have tried to glorify you. I have circumambulated you. I have studied all the shastram. Everything I have done, still you are not showing any mercy to me. In such a situation, all I can think of what Arjuna has done to you. Arjuna once took his bow and smashed Shiva's head. And this was a pastime between Arjuna and Lord Shiva. So sometimes a devotee may go into such length to wake up Krishna's mercy. Krishna was not showing any mercy. So Arjuna actually had to do this with Shiva when Shiva didn't show any mercy to him. So there's also the history of many devotees who have done this in their life. So, what can be done? Sometimes you have to wind up Krishna, wind him up. Otherwise, he won't show the mercy. So, in such situations, some devotees have acted in that way. But actually, when all these things are spoken, our position is that previously we had some connection with Super Soul, Antaryami, Krishna inside. Somewhere we have lost that connection. The wire is broken. The connection is broken there. Krishna is saying here that Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse like that in the 18th chapter. Ishvara, Krishna, Sarva Bhudanam, in all living entities, Hriddeshe, inside, Arjuna Tishtadi is situated. Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani Yandrarudhani Mayaya. He is actually keeping us, all of us, engaged in various activities. Just like a machine is being operated by an operator, similarly, Maya, through this powerful personality, or Maya, through influence of Maya, we are kept in this life, in this world, engaged in various activities. Brahmayan, all living entities, not only in this body, I only leave this body to accept another body. So, Krishna himself says to us, situated within our heart, he is busy in doing this. Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani, Yandra Rudhani Mayaya. Just like a machine, we are being made to work in this world. So, that broken connection with Krishna inside is what Krishna says in the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Tomeva Sharanam Gacha. Come back to me again and make that connection with Krishna. So, when we started making that connection with Krishna inside, He will start speaking with us. Because that is what all the personalities who have realized the truth have found out. That Krishna is inside. When we start speaking to Him, He will start speaking to us as well. And that experience is called Anubhuti. Anubhuti is that experience when we receive that reciprocation from Krishna inside. That one who is looking after the welfare of all the living entities, what can we say to Him? But because there is no other place to go and tell our distress, we have to only go back to Krishna at the end. Yoga kshema durandarasya sakala shraya pradodhyogina drishtva drishta matobadesha kridino bahyandara vyapina sattvajnasya dayakarasya bhavida kimveridavyam maya shambhotum paramandaranga idime chitte smaramanvaham. Then, the result of all these things, what has happened is that because I never cared for the soul, I lost my track. Because I never thought about this soul, I have lost my track. And not only that, I have completely ignored the soul. Instead of that, I have also thought myself to be this body. That is another mistake. I thought myself to be this body. Plus, I have also started thinking that this world is the only real thing in this whole creation. This world is the reality. So these two ignorances, I am this body and this world is real, has come to me very strongly because I have stopped thinking about the soul. Stop Atmavijaram. Atmavijaram means constant reflection on the soul. My connection, that connection has broken, as I mentioned before. Connection with the super soul is broken. The result of that is that I have become more absorbed in the body and more absorbed in the world outside. So it is this reason that in Kathopanishad you will see there is a verse there where it says that death after death. Yamadharmaraja says to Nachiketas, to such people, there's only one hope. That is, they have to accept death after death. Death after death. Actually, taking birth is also another death. Spiritual death it is. Taking birth means spiritual death. So on the one side, we are leaving the material body, that is one death. If you are accepting another material body, there is another spiritual death. So material death, spiritual death. Material death, spiritual death. Both times you are dying. Yamadharmaraja says this. That the secret or the secret of this whole creation, we have to find within ourselves, not outside. Only what is required is that there's only one thing we are very firm and very clear about this. Some people will ask about God. They will ask about God. Have you seen God? The reason why they are asking is that why this question is coming from them, because they are not sure about it. They are not very sure about it. That's why this question is coming. That they can ask that question. But there is one thing they cannot deny. Whatever it may be, they cannot deny. What is that? That I am existing. I am existing. That they won't deny. Nobody can deny that. Even if we say God exists or not, that is another question. You may or may not agree with that. People have different opinions on that, isn't it? According to their understanding. But I am existing or you are existing, I don't require any proof for that because I am always conscious of my own existence, isn't it? I am. Ahamasmi. Ahamasmi. So, when those who are arguing about the existence of God, and at least if they recognize their own existence, astitvam. Astitvam means their own existence. And when they started from that point, they should start their thinking. They should first start with their own existence. The thinking, I am existing. As we mentioned before many times, in Jagrat, I am existing. The mind is existing. The body is existing. And I am existing. When I go into the dream state, body is not existing, the senses are not existing, but mind is existing, I am existing. When I go into deep sleep state, again, the mind is not existing, body is not existing, but I am existing. Because the fact that when I come back from deep sleep, I am able to say that I had a good sleep and I feel happy after coming back from that state is the proof that I was existing even in the deep sleep. This is where one has to begin one's own analysis. One's own analysis of the self begins from there. From there, we have to go further. You will see this in the Bhagavatam at different places is discussed. Prahlada discussed this. Dhrumaraj discusses this. Uddhava discusses it. And so many others also. In the Bhagavatam, you will notice these discussions about the soul. So, and when we start inquiring, the one and only thing we are 100% sure is our own existence, isn't it? That we are 100% sure of that. And that is only thing what Krishna has given to us in the form of experience in this world. That is Krishna's kindness to us. That this bodham, this consciousness that I am existing all time, even when you cut my body, take my limbs away, and even at the time of death, I am saying, I am thinking that I am not dying. Body is dying. We all come to that state. Where am I? Because we ask the question, where will I be going? I don't know where I will be going. In other words, this concept that I am never going away, I always will live, that's always there. That cannot be taken out from us. And it is that I, the consciousness, bodham, is what we are. Is what we are. That is the proof of the soul within us. The proof of the soul living in us is this, that this constant realization that I am existing. Nobody can take it away from us. I may not be conscious of others' existence. For example, if I close my eyes, all of you are not existing for me. But even then, I am existing for me. Same thing with you also. So my existence, I am existing, is a very important factor in this. Even if this whole room is made dark, still I cannot ignore my existence. So from my own existence, there is no doubt. This is what in the Upanishad says, tamasa parastad. Tamasa parastad means transcending that darkness beyond me. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see in the first verse itself, there is a word used there. Charteshu abhijna swarad, isn't it? Swarad. Remember? Janmadhyasya idonvaya idaradas charteshu abhijna swarad. The first verse in the Bhagavatam. What does that swarad mean? Swarad means this, referring to the soul. Why is it soul? Because soul is fully independent. You cannot any time deny the existence of the soul. Soul is such a powerful thing. If you deny that the existence of soul, everything is finished. So Bhagavatam is beginning with that. Swarad is there, different ways it is spoken. Janmadhyase yadonyaya idaradas arthe shabhitnya swarad. Fully independent, we say, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned as fully independent. Arteshu abhijna swarad. That independence is what? Independence is this, that you are always existing. That is the beauty of the soul. Swayam prakasham. That means it has its own capacity to be conscious. It doesn't require any external help. Mind requires external help. Senses requires external help from the soul. But soul doesn't require any help. Soul on its own is powerful and it has its own illuminating power, its own existence, it's conscious of it all the time. That consciousness cannot be separated from the soul. Consciousness is a part of the soul. Bodham is a part of the soul. how did we, Satyam Param Dhimahi? And Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying there, Srimad Bhagavade Mahamunigrade Kimvapare Ishwari Sadhye Hrud Avriddeta Kridvi Shishrushubi Talshanal. And Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaye Muhyandiyal Suraya Tejo Varimradam Yadhavinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrisha Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhagam Satyambaram Dhimahi. So Satyambaram Dhimahi is addressing to that Chaitanyam, that soul who is present in everyone, whom we call as Krishna. Krishna is that soul, present in every living entity. So Krishna's presence in us is what Bhagavatam is talking about to begin with. That Satyam Param Dhimahi, that Param Satyam, the absolute truth, I pay my obeisances to Him. So this experience of the soul is cannot be understood by sound or cannot be seen or by touching or by any of the senses. By any of the senses, it cannot be experienced. It is already experienced by us. It's an experience. It cannot be identified with the eyes, with the ears, or by touching, or any other five senses what we have, isn't it? Eyes, ears, nose, and tasting, touching, all these senses of knowledge. None of them can tell us about the existence of the soul. The only thing is we can experience the soul within us in the form of consciousness. So if we separate it out, then the senses of knowledge are not capable of giving us that experience. The mind is not capable of giving us that experience. Experience is coming to us by experience, by Krishna's presence inside and by Krishna's mercy. That is the chit potency, what we say, bodham, avabodham. Sat chit anandam, isn't it? That chit potency is like that. So, in this thing is called anubhuti, or this experience is called aparoksham. Aparoksham. Aparoksha anubhuti. Why is it called aparoksha anubhuti? Paroksham is what is spoken indirectly, isn't it? Paroksham is what is spoken indirectly. Aparoksham means what is directly experienced without any intermediate agents, without immediate experience. Immediate experience. This experience that my consciousness, I am existing, is given to us straight away by Krishna's arrangement. That without any intermediary senses or mind, we can prove, we can tell others that you cannot deny my existence. You cannot deny, I cannot deny his existence. This is the, that is the reason why we say that closest place to realize the truth is inside. Krishna is inside. And in the, referring to this, there is a verse which says there, that the prakriti vikriti bhinnam shuddha bodhastva bhavam sadasadidam ashesham bhasayan nirvishesham vilasati paramatma jagradadi shavastha swaham aham idi sakshal sakshi rupena buddhe. There is a verse. Prakriti vikriti bhinnam shuddha bodha svabhavam. Free from prakriti and its vikriti. What does that mean? Prakriti is material nature. And prakriti's vikriti is the different ways this material nature presents in front of us. In different forms and different shapes. That is the vikriti of the prakriti. And sadas adhidam ashesham bhasayan nirvishesham. In spite of prakriti doing all these things, behind that, this living force or the soul is present, and vilasadi paramatma jagradadis avastha, jagradadis avastha. Behind that is vilasati. Vilasati means it is shining. How? In all the three states, jagradadis avastha. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, in all the three states. Soham aham idi sakshal sakshi rupena buddhe. Soham aham idi, aham idi, aham idi. I am that. Sakshi rupena buddhe. Just like a witness for everything. We are present in that. The soul is present in this situation. Soham aham idi sakshal sakshi rupena buddhe. Just like a witness, he is present all the time in all this existence. So, the I am existing all the time. Why it is mentioned like that is, in the form of Paramatma, we are existing inside. Who is existing inside? Paramatma is there, Jivatma is also there. Till we have realized, realization has happened to us. What will happen after that is another issue. Whether Jivatma merges with Paramatma or Jivatma remains separately from Paramatma, because in the purified state there is only Atma. Jivatma's conditioned state goes away from him. So Paramatma inside as Andaryami, he is present there, and it is present in front of us in the form of I am existing. And what is happening to us is, without inquiring about him, we will inquiring everywhere else. That is the biggest problem what we have. Remember yesterday we were mentioning this, that science has gone in one direction, thinking that they have to inquire everything else in this world, outside, isn't it? Therefore, their inquiry gone in one direction. They think the solution to the problem is elsewhere. So therefore, all the scientific discoveries and scientific inventions, but it doesn't seem to get anywhere, nowhere. Vedas are telling us that all this inquiry must stop, because the thing what you are inquiring after is very much within you, present within you. And instead of trying to find out that the soul inside, and once you have known that, everything else is automatically known, that nothing else exists except that consciousness, the soul. So, so if you tell somebody that when they start this research work, how many planets are there, how many millions of light years they are away from us, all this kind of information, which is totally useless. And if I ask the question that what good is to me by knowing all these things, that how far away the planets are, and how many years I have to travel to get there, how will it help me? Sometimes they themselves make foolish by their statement. Sometimes they say that some of the planets are 40,000 light years from here. So our life is only 50, 60, 70 years. So even if you travel the whole lifetime, you won't get there, because they are so far away. They say you have to travel so many years to get there. So they make these statements and then they leave us in darkness after that. They don't know what to say further. So the thing is that the when we talk about Krishna consciousness, they ask this question, if we discuss Krishna consciousness, will our belly get filled? How will I find my belly gets filled? So in Ramayanam, people have become so conscious of the belly that in Ramayanam there is a personality called Kabanda. This Kabanda, his head is inside his belly. So we have also become like that, so conscious of the belly rather than the head, heart. So if we use our brain or intelligence all the time only for this purpose, for filling the belly, then they will ask this question that how do I fill my belly? Then there is no answer to that. But the answer, Krishna consciousness is saying that from the philosophical level, that you will be much more peaceful, you'll be much more peaceful if you fill your heart rather than filling the belly. You'll be more peaceful with that. Even if the stomach is half filled, it doesn't matter. But just like Sudama's belly was never filled. You know, it was less than half filled. Sometimes it was empty. But if you look into Bhagavatam, what is spoken about Sudama? Krishnasya sil sakha kaschal brahmano brahmavitamam virakta indriyarteshu prashandalma jidendriyaham. This is how Sukadeva Goswami presents Sudama to Parikshit. Krishna syasil sakha kaschal. Krishna had a great friend. Brahmano brahmavitama. One who has realized the truth. Brahmavitama, a brahmana. Who has realized the truth. What was his quality? Virakta indriyarteshu. He had no desire to enjoy any of the senses. Completely freed from all sense enjoyment. Prashandalma. Always peaceful and happy. Jitendriya, and senses were completely under his control. So you can see here that even though Sudama was poor, he was completely at peace. So even if the stomach is not filled, if the heart is not filled, then what is the use? What is the use? Our modern civilization, from that point of view, it's only try to fill the belly. That has become the whole objective. The heart is completely ignored. Whether we accept the presence of the Krishna or not, we cannot deny the existence of the soul inside the body. And generally it is also mentioned that the wherever Krishna is present there, Lakshmi Devi is also present there. But if we simply go after Lakshmi, Lakshmi is always very unreliable. Bhartrahari said, my dear mother, to Lakshmi Devi, he says to her, that please don't get very closer to me, because wherever you are present, without Krishna's presence, immediately there will be all anarthas will come. All anarthas will come from that. All the great personalities, they used to look at Lakshmi Devi in that way. There is a interesting story about that, that once when a person was born in a very lower class, but he was also very spiritually advanced at the same time. His job was, he used to make baskets and mats and things like that. He belonged to that community who made these baskets and mats and things like that. With the, you know, bamboo, they cut it, and then from that they make all these kind of different articles. In the villages they do. So, once he was walking through a field, and somewhere he saw a lot of gold coins lying there. Somebody has left some gold coins there. He ran away from there completely frightened, seeing the gold coins. So someone asked him, stopped him and asked him, why are you running away from there? He says, there is one something there which will kill people, leopard-like thing. It's lying there. So be conscious, don't go there, he says. So, and saying that, he ran away from there. After some time, two people came that way. Thus, they saw these gold coins there, and both of them felt that it was a good fortune that day. They thought like that. So, together they picked up all the gold coins, and they were trying to go home with the money. With the gold, they have got it. So, on the way back, one started thinking, they have shared these gold coins between them. So, one started thinking, if I can kill the next one, I can take the whole one with me. Whole loot with me. The other also was thinking exactly the same thing. So, in that process, one of them tried to poison the other fellow, because he had some poison with him and tried to kill the other one. This person in turn took his knife and put it on the other fellow. So, like this, in that process, Lakshmi Devi was present there in the form of gold, but nobody could enjoy them. That's why that person mentioned before, that one who kills others, she is lying there. The one who kills others, don't go anywhere near to her. So, Lakshmi Devi is like that. Virakta indriyarteshu prashandalpa jidendriya. That we, if you keep Krishna away from life, then even Lakshmi Devi, there is no good to have Lakshmi either. Just having Lakshmi alone is not going to solve the problem. That Krishna says, ananyas chindayandomam ye jana parivasade tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. There's a statement in the Bhagavad Gita like that, isn't it? So, important, Krishna says, when he says that, ananyas chindayandomam ye jana parivasade tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. This has to be understood properly, this verse. Ananyas chindayandomam yojana paryupasate. We will say that we have to take Krishna shelter without any, without taking shelter of anything else, isn't it? Without any other chinda. Chinda means thought. Ananyas chinda means thought of other things. Without thinking about any other things, we have to take Krishna shelter. Yojana paryupasate. The other way to understand that is that if we have taken shelter of the soul, Antaryami, who is presence inside, it can be explained in both ways. That taking the shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna from the devotee's point of view. From the Jnani's point of view, it is realizing the self within. Realizing the self within. So, if you accept it like that, then the life is perfect. In other words, importance we must give, the priority we should give for self-realization, to knowing the self. Kastvam koham kuta ayata kami janini komi tata kasyatvamba kuta ayata tatvam chindaya tadiha bratha. It's the words from Bhajagovindam prayers. Kastvam, who are you? Koham, who am I? Kuta ayata, where have I come from? Kami janini, who is the mother? Kami tata, who is the father? Kasyatvamba kuta ayata, why, what purpose have you come here? Tatvam chindaya tadiha bratha. My dear brother, please try to think about all these things in depth and try to understand, get some answer for all these things. So, this inquiry is essential in our life. Otherwise, life will go simply wasted. It's totally empty. And as soon as we keep on inquiring about that, once this inquiry starts, immediately this realization will start coming that I am consciousness, not this body. I am consciousness. Whole of second chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has been explaining this to Arjuna, that the consciousness, what is inside, is a symptom of the soul's presence there. And this soul is what we are, not this body. And this anubhuti, this experience, what we have now in the form of consciousness, will get clarified as we get absorbed in the thoughts of the soul and self-analysis. So, when by chanting the holy name, this is what happens. That when we keep on chanting, eventually the chittavritti, all the thoughts that is going through the mind, will come to a dead stop. And all the five bodyguards which are inside, the five senses, they will come under our control. At the moment, they are not allowing, they have taken the bribe from outside and letting everybody in without consulting us. That is where the problem starts. So when these five soldiers who are standing there to look after this body, when they act in a corrupted way by letting all the objects to come in and to disturb our peace inside, that they are stealing my peace. What is that peace? That's my property. And if we are not conscious about it, we will get, the property will be stolen. The property is the peace inside of the soul. That has been stolen away by the senses, by allowing all the sense objects to come in and interact with the mind. Just like sometimes you see this report that the whole family was watching the television. At that time, the thief entered the house and stole things from there. So what is required is alertness, isn't it? Jagrata. Everybody gets absorbed in the television, watching the serial or something like that. The thief comes in and takes away what he wants and goes away. You see this report all the time happening. So, in order to free oneself from that situation, there should be jagrata. Jagrata means this alertness, that wherever that there is wealth stored, always conscious that it is there and that should be taken note of. So here, the jagrata is inside necessary. That is only due to ajagrata, because they were not alert enough. Similarly, inside this body, the soul is present. And with the torchlight of knowledge, what Krishna has given us in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if you do not light that torch inside and watch that soul carefully, the soul will be lost. The soul will be lost. Just like the five thieves have come and entered inside, similarly, Krishna's Maya will come inside and take it away, that soul from inside. And when one realizes that there is this consciousness presence inside, which is known as Brahman, Brahman realization. And all the sound, the eyes, the vision, the smell power, smelling power, the touching power, the tasting capacity, all these things is nothing but the transformation from the soul. So, at the moment, all these five senses, along with the powerful mind, we are... mind has born inside only because of the ignorance. The presence of the mind is due to ignorance in us. In the realized state, the mind doesn't exist. The vasanas have gone, the thoughts have gone, and we are purely fixed on the self, on the soul. So therefore, it is spoken that that the mind is that is born out of ignorance, plus these five senses together, we are struggling. And if we can grow beyond than that, then automatically there's only one thing left, that is the soul. So when we see that this attraction and repulsion, which is born out of dualities of this world, will leave us. Agarshana vigarshanam. Attraction and repulsion will go away. So, when we don't have the experience of Brahman, Brahman experience, Brahman realization, we will not understand this, but when the experience of Brahman or the self-realization happens inside, everything that we see in this world will be Brahman. Will be Brahman. Brahman. And whatever we hear is also Brahman at that point. And whatever we do at that point is also Brahman. And only that exists is Brahman. Brahman alone exists at that point. That otherwise, when we receive this mercy, Krishna's mercy, then senses will not disturb us anymore. Why they are disturbing us now? Because of the duality in this world. How did the duality has come? That we have attachment for something, we have hate towards something else. Ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion. And this Bheda Buddhi means this kind of thinking that something is nice, something is not nice. Something is giving me pleasure, something is causing me annoyance. I don't like this, I like this, I don't like this. So this duality, which is the nature of the material world, has gone in very strongly, isn't it? And that is why we have developed a attachment and aversion that is coming from ragam and dvesham to different objects in this world. Not only objects, even to other living entities. We have developed this raga dvesham, attachment and aversion. So, Krishna's maya, what it does is, that Krishna has tied our hands and eyes, and through the powerful maya, Krishna has put us into this situation. That, but Krishna alone can sprinkle the knowledge of the dust of knowledge in our eyes, and able to remove this jiva bhavam. Jiva bhavam means this identity as the jiva, living entity, and take it away from us as the jiva. Jivatvam has goes away from us. That means our false ego has to go from inside. Jivatvam is due to false ego or ahangaram. And give us that realization that we are eternal living entities, eternal by nature, full of bliss and knowledge. That realization has to come back. And at that point, our false ego has left us. And one devotee said to Krishna that you don't know how to do business properly. What you have done to me is that when you are selling something, you should get more profit. What you get back, you sell some object, some product, and you get the payment for that. The money what you get from the customer should be more valuable than the what product you have sold. Only then you can make a profit. But here, you didn't do a good business. You have taken my jiva bhavam, ahangaram, false ego from inside, and you have given to me self-realization. By in that way, you have got the cheaper thing. That is my false ego. On the other hand, I've got the higher realization of the my eternal identity as the soul. So, so when we lose this identity as jiva, then we are released from this identity of the body. Identity of the body is lost at that point. And when we keep on inquiring where this false ego has originated from, at that point we will see this false ego has gone and dissolved itself at some place, at somewhere inside. When Tattva Vicharam starts, when self-analysis starts from this point of the soul, as soon as that thought comes in, who am I? And the answer is given in the Shastra Mass that we are spirit soul. At that point, immediately the jivatvam goes away. False ego doesn't come at that point. As soon as you leave that center, as soon as you leave that center of the soul, where we are closely connected, immediately the false ego comes back and we start acting a false platform in this material world. That is called the jivatvam. Jiva is that false ego that is operating in this world. So, why we have to say all these things is that that spurti, it is called spurti in the Shastram, or experience of the soul, that for such a person, one who has find that center inside, for him, his senses will turn inward. His senses will turn inwards. And at that point, there is no duality in him. And when there are enemies coming to attack him in the form of different emotions, lust, anger, greed, and so many other material disturbances, he will immediately go back to that center. He will immediately go back to that center. There is no more danger. That is what Krishna has mentioned here is Kurmanganiva Sarvasha, that second line in that verse. Yadava Samharade Chayam Kurmanganiva Sarvasha. So we have to understand this properly. Kurmanganiva Sarvasha is not a mechanical process. In order to come to that state, Kurmanganiva Sarvasha, the tortoise state, that is only an example given to us. But when it applies to personally or individually, what is expected from us is this. We have to start the self-inquiry, inquiry about the soul, first step. First thing, as I mentioned yesterday, to accept that this identification with the body and connection with the external world is false. That experience, in order that situation to happen, in order that such a realization to come, prior to that, we have to experience distress in this world in some form. It is only then these thoughts will develop inside. Afterwards, when we have accepted the body is temporary, which is not real, also the material world is temporary, and our inquiry begins, who am I? Isn't it? When that inquiry begins, who am I? Then our inward-looking nature start building up. As we have understood that the presence of the soul inside the body is experienced by us in the form of consciousness, is the ample proof to say that we are not this body. We are not this body. So, as soon as we understand, accept that, and as I mentioned so many times, Ahamasmi, I am existing under all circumstances. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, in all states, I am existing. That is the proof of presence of the soul inside. That consciousness, I am existing, is coming from the soul. Only soul can give us that. That's a statement from the Shastram. And when we realize it also, we will come to know that. So after we have come to that understanding, that I am spirit soul inside, that becomes our center for the future. So that is the only thing what is real. Everything else is unreal. False it is. Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Kibhadram, kimbhadram, kimabhadram va. What is auspicious and what is inauspicious in this world? Everything is inauspicious except that vachoditam amrutam. Everything is false in this world, Krishna says there in the Ekadasha Skandam. So, that center, once we have recognized that center, Krishna who is present inside, each one of us as a super soul, he is the only truth. Everything else is false within this world. And Krishna is saying here, once you have trained yourself to go back to that center all the time, then you will understand this word kurmanganiva sarvasha. That means how to withdraw all the senses inwards when there is danger outside. When there is danger outside, that is when you have to withdraw. Not that all the time you have to withdraw. When you sense that there is some danger outside, what is that danger? Danger is this, that all senses goes to sense objects. And our bodily identification, we come into a situation where we are driven by the senses or driven by the external world. At that point, we should be able to withdraw and go back to that center. Anytime any distress comes in life, we should be able to go back to that center. Anytime when happiness comes in life, we should be able to go back to that center. So establishing that center inside is very important. And this is called Antaryami Vidya. The Vidya means, Antaryami is the super soul inside, the science related to the super soul. In Ramanuja Vaishnava Sampradayam, this is given a lot of importance to it. Antaryami principle. It's called Antaryami principle. As I mentioned before, Antaryami is closer to us than the deity. Deity, we go to the temple, we have to go to the temple to see the deity. But here, right inside, he is present there all the time telling us, I am here, I am here, I am here. And apparently some of the commentaries from Acharyas are saying, this heartbeat is only a reminder to us to tell us that I am present here all the time. So all you have to do is to put your hand here and check whether he is present there or not. To such an extent, Krishna's presence is known to us, we still don't take note of it. That's the point. We still don't take note of it. Our attention is still in the murti or deity. Deity worship is only given to us to facilitate our, to make it easier for us. Krishna has given out of mercy, allowed us to worship in that form. But stronger than that is presence, Krishna's presence right inside. And all the great devotees who are not doing deity worship, realized souls, they consult this Antaryami more than the deity. More than the deity. It is Antaryami who talks to you. The soul inside, super soul, it is him who talks to you. And all the great souls, when they have developed this Antarmukhatvam, looking inwards, they go and consult him. And he tells them what's right and what's wrong. And which way to go, he guides them from that. So, when the tortoise pulls the senses inwards, when he gets attacked, isn't it? Similarly, if you think about this verse is a very interesting verse. Eda samharade chayam kurmanganiva sarvasha indriyan indriyarthebhyo tasya prajna pradishtida. That's the verse, isn't it? So, how to do this? This question will come. And if you ask several people, they will also find it very difficult to explain that, because this can only be understood if you observe someone who has done it. If you observe someone who has done it, you can see that. One great acharya once was invited to attend a temple festival. Because he was coming from a very famous mutt, and he was also very learned and realized soul, they decided to take him along with the deities in the chariot on the procession. They were taking him on the procession, so somebody who was very carefully observing him all the time, that he was doing various things with the people, because when Acharya travels in the chariot, there will be loads of people, thousands of people who wants to greet him, who wants to take his blessings. And it's not only one person, hundreds and thousands of people trying to. So you get completely lost in that, isn't it? If one person has to deal with thousands of people at the same time, it's very difficult. So how did he maintain his peace inside? Someone was observing him very carefully when he was going in the chariot. So all through the chariot, in the crowd, when they come to you, there'll be some people who are very familiar to you. This always happens, isn't it? Suppose you are in a group of people. Some people are known to you very closely. Some people are not so well known to you. But you don't want to upset anybody, because you want to be friendly with everyone, isn't it? So normally that's happened. But in a procession, when there are so many people coming, quite a lot of people are known to you, a lot of people, you don't want anyone to feel that you have ignored them. So what happened was, this sannyasi, this saintly person was sitting in the chariot, and chariot was going through, lots of people were coming and greeting him and asking for blessings and all that. Some people felt that he's not giving them any attention. And he did not want that to happen, but in the middle of that, he himself was getting pulled by the crowd altogether. So at some point, one of the person who was observing him, he noticed that for a second, he withdrew from the whole thing and he has gone back to the center. As soon as you go back to the center, you are immediately freed from all what is happening around. Just for a few seconds, and then you come back again, completely energized, and you don't feel that. That is what that verse is saying. When you see that person was saying later, that how he withdrew his attention in the world and gone back into the center, and he says, I understood what it meant, what this verse meant. That's how he says, I understood this verse. When I saw someone doing that, yada samharade chayam kurmangani va sarvasha indriyani indriyarthebhya tasya prajna pratishthita. This is called kurma yogam or the tortoise yoga. So this yoga system, you have to see someone who is practicing it right in the middle of all activities. Suddenly he withdraws to the center and shuts all the senses and goes back to the center, and he finds the peace there. When he gets a lot. So satsangam is such a thing. When you see a person who has such an experience, you will know the importance of satsangam. Satsangam, this is what happened. Then when you see that for a second, even the shastra is not so important. But then you experience it, what it means. So they have found a center where they can go back to in all situations. This is the reason that you may not get everyone to take to spiritual life. Because of the various reasons, either due to the powerful modes of nature or due to the strong influence of prarabdha karma. All these things are there in a person's life. Sometimes no matter how much you speak about Krishna consciousness, some people will never accept it, will never take it. So therefore it is wrong to expect that everybody will accept the principles of spiritual life. But if you get a group of people a small group of people who takes it very seriously, that will do a lot of good to this world. So occasionally you will find among the great realized souls or great advanced devotees also, jnanis as well, that they will always withdraw from this world and go back to this center, super soul Antaryami, to withdraw from the external world and feel the strength from there. Because that is there, that is the location where they live in that center. They come out from the center, deal with this world, and go back to that center. Kurmangani va sarvasha. And another example is given like this. Suppose there is a big festival in a town, in a small town, there is a big festival. So at the festival time, a lot of people will come, isn't it? From all the other villages, people come to this town. So when they come, they have to stay overnight in the town. So the intelligent person, what will he do? First thing, he will find an accommodation where to stay. And he'll go there, get his room booked, and deposit his valuables, belongings, everything there. lock up his room, and then he will go and participate in the festival. And when the festival is over, he knows he can go back there and rest before he goes back to his own village. On the other hand, if a person thinks, let me finish the festival and after that I'll go and find a room, you may not get a room at that time. Listen, because all the rooms could have been taken away. So intelligent thing to do is to book the room first and a place to stay and then go and enjoy the festival. Similarly, while dealing with this world also, Krishna is saying that Kurmanganiva Sarvasha Indriyan Indriyarthebhyo. First find that center where you have to go first and establish that center strongly, the spiritual center inside, the soul's presence in other words. Make that connection strongly with him. After that, do anything in this world what you want. It won't cause any problems. It won't disturb you. So, that silent plane inside, Ekanda Siddhi, Krishna calls that as the important thing. And that is known as Avaroksha Anubhuti. Avaroksha Anubhuti. Inside finding this quiet location where we can go and find ourselves to take shelter, a quiet place, that is that center, the soul, inside. And Krishna calls us finding this is called Kurma Yoga. Finding that center inside is called Kurma Yoga. Please don't misunderstand. Many people think like this. Kurma Yoga means, oh, as soon as I see a television, immediately I should close my eyes. I become a Kurma Yogi. No. Kurma Yogi is not closing the eyes to television, or if somebody offers you a feast, oh, I won't eat anything. I'm not eating anything. I control my tongue now. I become a Kurma Yogi. No. Kurma Yoga is this, that whenever there is any distraction from outside world, or if there is any distress even coming, or happiness coming from the world outside we are dealing with, or from the material body which we are identified with, if ever any distraction happens, immediately at that point, we should be able to go back to the soul and identify with the soul there. It is at that point that identity with the soul is more important, because otherwise the balance will be lost. Balance will be lost. We will identify with the mind. We will identify with the false ego. Once you identify with the soul, the false ego will disappear straight away. But when we identify with the body and the mind and the false ego, all the miseries we have to experience from that. So Kurma Yogam is in the cases of Sthita Prajna. Krishna is saying here, the symptom of a person who is Sthita Prajna, who is Siddha Prajna, this is what is happening, Krishna says there. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the Varaha incarnation, isn't it? At the same time, there is also Kurma incarnation, isn't it? Tortoise incarnation. What is this Kurma incarnation? That Kurma incarnation, that to study this Kurma Yogam is to practice this first. That first we start chanting the holy name. We start chanting the holy name. As soon as you keep on chanting, eventually Chittavritti will stop. Chittavritti, the powerful Chittavritti which is in the beginning will start coming down as we keep chanting. Chanting the holy name. Eventually, at some point, the mind will capture that. Mind will take it over, that chanting. And then it becomes continuous. It becomes a continuous chanting. When that continuous chanting develops inside, even if one is conducting his business outside, the chanting will not stop. At that point, you are not doing the chanting anymore on your own. The chanting becomes an automatic process inside. That is for the very advanced soul who have chanted for a very, very long time, this happens to them. That irrespective of whether they like it, even while sleeping they are chanting. In deep sleep they are chanting. In dream state they are chanting. In the vacant state they are chanting. Chanting goes on forever. By then, the mind has taken over the chanting and chanting has become an integral part inside. So, Kurmanganiva Sarvasham. And if we practice this Kurma Yogam, what Krishna has explained here, And day and night, if we practice it, eventually the chanting process will become our habit. Habit means it will become a part of us. And we can even hear, Krishna says that you can even hear that chanting going on inside. And if that happens, even if we are in the midst or in the middle of any business or any activity, or even if we are doing any other kind of work in this world, our attention will be towards japam, towards chanting. In a natural way, it will happen. That japam will become our part, integral part. And without being, whatever we may do, our attention will not move away from that. That in other words, Krishna is saying, you have to get grounded there. You have to get grounded there. And purely experience of that happiness that comes from there. The name, the form, all these things are in that, within that. So, when the children ask various kinds of things to play with, then suppose in a packet, sometimes they make these biscuits, isn't it, in different shapes and different animals and trees and all kinds of forms they make. Everything is the same. The flour is the same, the sugar, the butter, everything used is the same. But children will choose from that. Oh, I want this one particular. I like this one. I don't like that one. They're just by the name and the form, they will go for it. But this name and form will disappear once it goes into the mouth, isn't it? Name and form will disappear as soon as it goes into the mouth. It's the same flour, the sugar, the butter that is made. It's no difference at all. But externally, he is attracted by the name and the form. So similarly for us also, all these names and forms we are experiencing in this world, as soon as we go back to the center and the japam becomes serious, immediately all these names, forms will appear from inside. Yena kena pibhayena mana krishna niveshayad. So Krishna is called to say, yena kena pibhayena. In the seventh canto, you will see this. Yena kena pibhayena mana krishna niveshayad. Somehow or the other, the mind should get, mind should make that connection with Krishna, Antaryami, or the soul inside. So, the first step in that direction is what Krishna has spoken here as Kurma Yoga. Kurma Yoga is the first step in that direction. In other words, even while engaged in the senses, or say, while engaged in the senses, if you say to the senses, with the sense objects when they are engaged, as long as there is vasana inside, it will affect us. As long as there is vasana inside, it will affect us. That it is not possible to tell someone, one who is addicted to sense gratification. Sense gratification means that a person has a lot of vasanas inside, isn't it? Lot of vasanas inside. And these vasanas are compelling him to go for sense enjoyment. To go for sense enjoyment. So, if a person's senses are interacting with the sense objects, and if you tell him that you have to become a, you have to withdraw your senses from sense objects, it's not going to happen. Why? His vasana is more powerful than our instructions to him. It will not happen to him. So, just like if there is gas in a cylinder, if you light a match, immediately the flame will come, isn't it? So, similarly, as long as vasana is inside, the sense objects and the mind will interact. Therefore, there is only one thing you can do about this. You have to think in this way. As long as there is gas in the cylinder, if you bring the fire, the flame will come. Isn't it? The flame will come. As long as there is vasanas inside, if the senses come into contact with sense objects, the mind will be affected. The mind will be affected. So there is only one thing you can do in this case. That's what Krishna is saying here. Do not allow, in the beginning, not to allow to come in contact with the sense objects. Don't allow that to happen. That's why it is important. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm now conscious of everything, nothing will happen to me. Saying that, if I start going and watching all the movies in the theater, go to discotheques, go to all the restaurant and start eating food because I'm full of knowledge now inside, nothing will happen to me, Krishna says you will be cheated. You will be cheated. That is why the only thing, because vasanas are inside, if I break the rule thinking that, oh, now I've read Bhagavad Gita and I'll withdraw my senses when I go to discotheque or when I go to the restaurant or when I go to a bar or pub or wherever it is, because I got the understanding that those things are, I have to be like a tortoise, I'll withdraw my senses when I go there. Krishna says that won't work. Why? Because the vasanas inside at some point will overpower you and your so-called knowledge will go like this, will be gone. So therefore Krishna says there, one should first stay away from the sense objects. This is the reason why it is said like that. Just because today we heard Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Gita is telling us don't do these things because it's the interaction with the senses and sense objects, how it happens and mind gets affected. We read Bhagavad Gita and understood all that. And because we have understood, now I think start thinking that now I can do anything I want because I've got this understanding. Krishna says it will not work. Why? It will be like this cylinder, he says. The gas is inside. What is that gas here? The vasana inside. The vasanas are waiting there for to get a contact with something. And immediately you'll be pushed into it. So, if you want to escape from that, Krishna says, at least in the beginning, till we get to the state of realization, self-realization, Krishna says, you have to keep away from the sense objects. There is no other way except to keep away from the sense objects. If you look at it this way, poison, only if you take it, it will kill you, isn't it? Poison, if you take it, it will kill you. But this thing called sense enjoyment, it not only kills you in this life, but it will kill you in many lifetimes afterwards. Many lifetimes afterwards. Actually, we are booking the ticket for creating another body, isn't it? So, once we develop sense gratification, actually what we are doing is, we are sowing the seed for many lifetimes to come. Many more material bodies. Whereas poison, if you take once, it will kill you this body. This one body will be get killed. That's all it can do. Even the most powerful snake, its poison, if you get bitten by that snake or cobra or whatever it is, you may die and lose this body. One body you may lose. That's all. But this thing called sense gratification will sow the seed in the form of vasana inside. You are strengthening your vasana more, which means that you have to keep on accepting more and more and more material bodies afterwards. So which is more powerful? Sense gratification is more powerful than even the snake's poison. Even the snake's poison. That is an important point. That for many, many lifetimes, we are actually booking the ticket for creating more impressions. Vasana means impressions inside. And unlike the poison, it only kills one person. And this one thing, sense gratification and the vasana that it has created, will create distress for us life after life, in so many lifetimes. So whatever sense objects are taking us away from Krishna, whatever sense objects are taking us away from Krishna, and whatever is taking us away from culturing devotion inside, we have to stay away from that. This is a fundamental principle. We have to stay away from that. And that is the first step in doing that. We shouldn't say, oh, it will not affect me. I won't be affected by that. And if you know that the dog is going to bite, what should you do? Stay away from the dog. Similarly, you can train up the leopard, the boar, and all other things. But as far as the sense objects are concerned, Krishna says that the only way you can escape from that is by fasting, by staying away from them. And this is the point Krishna is making in the next verse. So we'll look at that. Verse 59.
Vishayavinivartante
niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Once again, Vishayavinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Translation: the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Vishaya vinivartande niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Krishna is saying, so earlier we were talking about this poisonous effect, that doshena tivro vishaya krishna sarpa vishadavi visham nihandi bhoktaram drashtam chachushapeyam. In the shastram says, doshena tivro vishayaha krishna sarpa vishadavi, that vishayam or sense objects does much more damage than the Krishna sarpam. Krishna sarpam is the black cobra, which is much more poisonous. Ushadavi. Visham nihandi bhoktaram drashtam chachushapeyam. You can actually escape from the poison. It will only kill you. That's all it will does. Drashtam chachushapeyam. Whereas the eyes, you can see in the Bhagavadam, these are mentioned very clearly. Just by the vision alone, how one has fallen. Ajamila, in spite of his best training at home, in Vedic culture and spiritual training, everything he had, in spite of that, what happened to him? Just by seeing that prostitute and that person who was drunk, they were playing together, singing and dancing. Ajamila saw that first time. When he saw that, he tried to control his mind and senses. But he could not. Immediately the vasanas were there inside. Some vasanas were inside that came out. And he became victimized. So, this Kurma Yogam, what we have discussed here, Nirahara Yogam, that is what his Ekadashi is all about. We say, we look for the Ekadashi every time, isn't it? Ekadashi feast, actually, we are looking for. So, the whole thing is misunderstood at that very point itself. When Ekadashi feast starts, Ekadashi means, what is Ekadashi means? Ekadasham means 11, isn't it? Ekadasham, Dashamam is 10, Ekadasham is 11. When you count, Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya, like that, if you count, it is Dashamam is 10, Ekadashi is 11. This Ekadasham is, what are these 11? 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action, and the mind. This is 5 plus 5 plus 1, 10 plus 1, 11. These 11, keeping them under complete control is Ekadashi. Ekadashi is nothing but keeping these 11 things under complete control. That's why it's called Ekadashi. It's not Ekadashi feast. So, some people say, oh, every day I'm eating the same food, at least on Ekadashi I'll have a change. Because it's Ekadashi feast that day, isn't it? So, in this way, we have misunderstood everything. So many things we misunderstand in that way. So, once it so happened that in the topic of eating Ekadashi, that is what Ekadashi is all about. One person went to one Agraharam. Agraharam means where the Brahmanas are fed during the temple festivals times. No, generally they are fed. In the old temples, you will see, every temple will have an agraharam attached to that. In the agraharam, the brahmanas are fed in that agraharam. Prasadam is fed there. So, one person went into the agraharam and he asked one person, what are you sitting here for? He said, to have my meal, to eat, he said. He asked the second person also, he said, I'm also sitting here to eat, he said. To the third person, he asked him the same question, and he says, I'm eating to sit, he said. The other way, just like we say here also, isn't it? That everybody is living to eat. Somebody, only some people eat to live. So, if we have that understanding, then there's a difference there, isn't it? Some people are living to eat and others are eating to live. So, when we have some control on our senses, this system of Ekadashi helps us to bring us into that understanding of the soul. That when the mind is controlled, that means when there is not a lot of food gone inside, when we restrict our eating habits, the mind is automatically controlled and all the senses also comes under control. It is then that, combined with that silence, it helps us to recover that consciousness of the soul, of the soul. The word used is upavasam, isn't it? Upavasam. Upavasam means staying closer to Krishna. Sometimes we understand that upavasam means fasting. Upavasam, we say like that, isn't it? But if you strictly take the meaning of that word, upavasam means to stay closer. To closer to what? Closer to the truth. Just like upanayanam, we use the word upanayanam, isn't it? The sacred thread ceremony is called upanayanam. Why is it called upanayanam? To bring you closer to the spiritual master, to the truth. So, upanayanam, upavasam, these are all in that connection, explained like that. So, nirahara yogam. Just like the last verse was called kurma yogam, this verse is called nirahara yogam. Nirahara yogam. Vishaya vinivartande nirahārasya dehinam rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartade. Krishna says there, isn't it? Vishaya vinivartande means, by not allowing the senses to give an opportunity to enjoy the sense objects. That is Vishaya Vinivartande. You are actually forcing the senses to fast. Niraharasya Dehina. Niraharasya Dehina. This is important because, as I mentioned in the last time, that if you think that, oh, I have the knowledge now, I can go and interact with the sense objects freely now, I will not be affected by that. All you have to do is to pull back to the soul, isn't it? If you think like that, when it has not become a reality for you, Krishna said that will cause damage. Because the powerful vasana will overpower you and go and enjoy the sense objects, and afterwards you will regret for what has happened. So Krishna's advice to us is, that till you have practiced Kurma Yogam very well, and also this Nirahara Yogam, which he is going to talk to us, while practicing Kurma Yogam, you have to be very careful not to allow to come into contact with sense objects. It's important. He says, because in order to do that, Krishna says, Nirahara Yogam will help. That's what he's talking about. Vishaya Vinivartande Niraharasya Dehina. That you don't feed the body with the food. When you say feed body with the food is only for the stomach and for the taste, for the tongue, isn't it? But proper understanding is not any of the senses. For every sense there is some food required, isn't it? For example, eyes wants to watch the television. The ears wants to hear the pop music. And similarly, tongue wants to taste the different kinds of food. The nose wants to smell the best perfumes. And the skin wants to touch the soft objects. So all five senses needs food It needs to be fed. All senses are demanding that. This first two lines in this verse is saying, Vishaya vinivartande niraharase dehina. Dehina means the soul who is present inside, or the person, you deny him the possibility of any food through any of the senses. No senses, no food. That is the policy. That you don't feed anyone with anything. Neither, nothing, eyes don't get anything, the mouth doesn't get anything, the nose doesn't get anything, the ears don't get anything, sense of touch also don't get anything. So when it comes to mouth, you have to take two things into account. On one hand, you don't give any food to eat. On the other hand, you don't allow the mouth to talk anything. So dual control on the mouth and all the other five, three senses as well. So, Vishaya Vinivartande Niraharasya Dehina. Krishna says by simply not allowing any sense objects to come into contact with the senses, it will happen. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So, if we practice this, you can see, Krishna also says that you'll be much more energized in your spiritual life. Spiritual life will make a progress. So, but you cannot say that you have escaped because of this. So, because the taste of sense gratification which you have enjoyed before is still lying inside. Vishaya rasam. It is called Vishaya rasam. The gratification of the senses and the taste from that. And when you control your senses, when you control your senses in this way, by not having any sense gratification, it is called tapasya, or tapasya, they call it. Ekadashi is a tapasya, not watching the TV is tapasya. It is tapasya. All other kinds of sense gratification not allowing to happen is tapasya. So, when you stop the senses from going out and start enjoying, there will be automatically heating, a heat will develop inside because of stopping the senses from enjoying its sense objects. That is natural, isn't it? If you don't allow the eyes to watch television, inside there is some kind of heat builds up, isn't it? Why can't I watch television? What do I get from this by not watching the television? Or similarly, sometimes when you are given a very big feast, you decided not to have the feast. And in your mind you are heating up inside. I should have had the feast. Why should I not have the feast? So like this, every sense gratification generates some heat inside a body. Inside a body. And that is called tapam. Tapam means the heat that is generated. And that is from the word tapasya has come from that. And tapam tava tava, Krishna says to Brahma in the beginning, isn't it? Perform penances, perform penances. So, as soon as you control anything like this, inside that heat will build up. Heat will build up inside. And through your Ichashakti means the capacity for desiring things. And Krishna says that Icha Shakti has to be kept under control. And the name it is called as Dhriti, and otherwise Krishna calls it as Yogasthiti. Yogasthiti, Krishna calls it as Yogasthiti. So, Niraharam or fasting is not only for the mouth, but all the other 10 senses also should get this control. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhi. There is a statement in the Chandokya Upanishad where Sanat Kumara Maharshi is spoken about this, that how through the control of all the senses alone one can come to self-realization. Sattva Shuddhi. Sattva Shuddhi means purification of one's own existence. So therefore, whatever we eat, it should become sattvic. Whatever we eat should be sattvic. And anything what has come through violence or killing or things like that, that is dangerous. And every, as you know, the principle involved, that all of you know about that, every living entity has a fear for its own existence. If you kill another living entity and eat, that fear will come through the food to us as well. And therefore, our yogasthiti will be affected by that. If the food is pure, then satugunam will develop inside. If satugunam develops inside, automatically, without anybody telling us, this consciousness about the soul and the knowledge about the soul will start growing inside, without anyone telling us. That is the beauty. That is simply the power of satugunam. Satugunam creates this. Satval sanjayate jnanam, isn't it? Satvam generates this consciousness of the soul without being educated by anyone else. So powerful is satugunam. So that is why they say, somehow come to satugunam. Satvam satvena chaivahi. So in satugunam, and if a person is very matured in the sense that without his own knowledge, he will engage in the analysis of the soul. These are the purified state. Remember Vaisharadi Buddhi we spoke about in the Bhagavadam. So Vaisharadi Buddhi will only happen if we engage in sadhana and control the mind and the senses in this way. When the mind and senses are controlled, Krishna is saying there, automatically satugunam will develop in a person. When satugunam develops in a person, in a natural way, that person will engage in atmavijaram, or in the analysis of the soul or the self. It will naturally come to him. And this is what Bhagavadam also stressing this point very much. So, without his own knowledge, he will start thinking, who am I? This thought will come to him. And even if he does not have the answer, at least his thoughts are turned in the right direction. Thoughts are turned in the right direction. So, it is only at that point Shastram can help. Shastram can help only at that point. Because having come to that point, we understand that I am something beyond this body. I am something beyond this body. People who are very grossly absorbed in the sense enjoyment, it's very difficult for them to develop satugunam. And you can see that in their activities also, how tamogunam and rajogunam overpowers them. In tamogunam, there is no possibility. It is dead wood. In the Bhagavadam, it is said like that, isn't it? Pathivad dharano bhumi. That it is it's like a dead wood. It won't catch fire. In rajogunam, there is a possibility, but it's unduly disturbed inside because of activities. It is very disturbed inside. But in sattugunam, it's very favorable. That's why it said, in sattugunam, the possibility of developing this knowledge will happen. Otherwise, it will not happen. And this is what Krishna is saying here, that if sattugunam has developed inside, vishaya vinivartande niraharasya dehinam, then sense objects will not disturb us anymore. Sense objects will not disturb us anymore. So, one who is not engaged in sense gratification, the sense objects won't disturb him. But still, the taste will be inside. Taste has not gone away from inside. We tried very hard to block the senses, in the sense that through the understanding, as Krishna said, we kept away from all sense objects. That's what Krishna said in the Kurma Yoga, isn't it? You should keep away from the sense objects. We have done that. But that doesn't guarantee us that we are in the safe area yet. Because the vasanas that is inside, the taste we have developed is still there, very much inside. When will that go? When we become self-realized. That taste will only go when we become self-realized. Atma sashalkaram, or self-realization happens, Vishaya rasam will go. That is why we also have to say, as far as jnani, as far as bhakta, devotee is concerned, equally the same. For a devotee, Just because he has come to Krishna consciousness, got initiated and took to the process, doesn't mean that he has escaped. He is free from the danger zone. He is not. Suppose he is following all the regulative principles. He is engaged in deity worship. He is at the temple. He is not associating with the matter, everything. Even then, Krishna says he is still in the danger zone. Why? The vasanas have not left him. It is still there. That's why we see sometimes devotees, after practicing so many years of spiritual life, suddenly they fall from that. Why? The vasanas have not left inside. And you can't do anything about it. That is the point. Krishna says the next two lines, Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. That means, if we have not started relishing the happiness of the soul, up to that point, this danger is with us. This danger is with us up to that point. For a jnani, to the point of self-realization. For a devotee, till he realizes Krishna. In either way, it doesn't matter. It's one and the same. In reality, it's one and the same. Spoken in two different levels, as a devotee and a jnani. That's all. But unless we experience the self-realization, unless we are in realizing happiness in Krishna service completely, up to that point, this danger of vasanas inside can take you back again to the sense gratification and fall. So that is why Krishna is saying there, Vishaya vinivartande niraharasya dehinam, that by not allowing food to any of the senses, you can withdraw from the sense object. But rasavarjam rasopyasya, that rasam, the taste, rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartade, taste will only go when you have experienced a higher taste. The taste for sense gratification, which is still a danger inside, that will only go when you have experienced a higher taste. That is the point. Important point this is. Vishaya vinivartande niraharese dehinam. You can prevent sense objects coming into contact with the senses. That you can do now. But because the vasanas are inside, impressions are inside still to enjoy, any moment you can fall. Therefore, Krishna is saying, you have to carry on doing this till you find happiness in the soul or happiness in Krishna. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Only when you have started experiencing happiness from the soul, only when you have started experiencing Krishna, Krishna's service, happily you are doing it, up to that point, this danger is always there. Param drishtva nivartate. Many devotees have tried to serve Krishna in different ways. They have tried to serve Krishna. And what pleases Krishna, nobody knows. Everybody agrees on this one point. You cannot say, point out something and say to him that, look, this is what you should do, that Krishna will be pleased with this. You cannot say that. Because if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find what actually pleases Krishna, nobody knows. Everybody agrees on this one point. Ajamila chanted the holy name, that pleased Krishna. So Krishna says, you can come back to the spiritual world. Ambarish Maharaj performed his Ekadashi well. So Krishna says, well, your Ekadashi has been very good, come back to me. Sudama offered some flat rice, Pruthaka Tantulan, it's called in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So some flat rice Sudama offered to Krishna, and that pleased Krishna. Similarly, Prachetas, when Krishna saw Prachetas, when after 10,000 years of penances underneath the water, when Prachetas saw Krishna, Krishna says to them, what pleased me very much about you is this unity what you have shown, the same way of thinking, the same way of acting. This unity what you have shown has pleased me. Krishna says to whom? To Prachetas. In the Bhagavatam you can read these things. Vritrasura pleased Krishna by remembering Krishna in such a powerful way. He remembered Krishna. And Prahlada pleased Krishna by servitude, by his service, isn't it? Dasyam. Prahlada is mentioned for that. Uttaradevi pleased Krishna through what? Through her surrender. Amazing surrender. Uttaradevi surrender in Bhagavadam, isn't it? There are three personalities in the Bhagavadam who have surrendered to Krishna in three different situations. All these three personalities are considered to be examples of surrender, Sharanagati. One is Uttaradevi, other one is Draupadi, and the third one is Gajendra. Three persons, three individuals surrendered to Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can read that. Out of these three, whose surrender is the topmost surrender? If you look at it, you can see that Uttaradevi's surrender was the topmost compared to even Draupadi's and Gajendra's. Gajendra, before he surrendered to Krishna, if you read in the 8th canto, Gajendra had to go through, had a lot of faith in his family members, isn't it? When the crocodile bit him, Gajendra first didn't pray to Krishna. He was looking for help. He tried himself. First he had his own strength, a lot of faith in his own strength. So he started pulling the crocodile out of the water. But crocodile in the water is more powerful than the elephant on the land. So elephant could not win. Gajendra could not win. So first he tried very hard with his own strength. When that didn't work, he started looking for help elsewhere. It was then that he got the other elephant started joining him. And they all started together pulling this elephant away from the crocodile. But still, they could not win. So, the initial faith Gajendra had was in himself and in all his friends and relatives who were with him. When everything else failed, it is then that he remembered about Narayana, Akhila Guru, Bhagavan, Namaste. He remembered Krishna at that time from his previous lifetime, what happened. When he was King Indradyumna and he performed worship of Krishna at that in that lifetime, all that memory came back to him. And then he decided to surrender to Krishna at that point. So his surrender happened after a little delay from his side, isn't it? Therefore, Gajendra's surrender is not the topmost surrender. Draupadi also made the same mistake to some extent. In the assembly of the Kauravas in Dhritarashtra Maharaj's palace, when Dushasana tried to disrobe her, at that time Draupadi Devi looked everywhere. All her husbands were there, all the Pandavas were there, whether they would help. She even expected help from Bhishma, that Bhishma will interfere and stop this. And similarly, Dhritarashtra, the king, none of them helped. Only then Draupadi's attention turned to Krishna. So Draupadi's surrender is also not the highest. Uttaradevi's surrender is highest because when Parikshit was within the womb of Uttaradevi, Uttaradevi's prayers, if you look in the Bhagavatam, you will see, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpade Nanyantva Abhayam Pashyel Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. That straight away when Ashwathama released Brahmastram, Brahmastram went inside and started burning the baby inside. Uttaradevi was feeling the heat very much inside. And she did not look this side or that side. Because she is saying there that death personified is inside me, has come and is going to kill my baby. Deva Deva Jagalpade. And I don't see any shelter in any of these people who are present here. Referring to all the husbands, all the Pandavas present there, all the other powerful personalities who are present there. None of them can protect me, he says. Yatra Mrityu Parasparam, because they are also subjected to death. So Uttaradevi from day one realized the only person who can give shelter is Krishna. So without dependence on anyone, direct surrender to Krishna, Uttaradevi has done in the Bhagavadam. And therefore, Uttaradevi's surrender is superior to the surrender of Draupadi Devi and also Gajendra. This is the reason why it's spoken like that. Now, they surrendered to Krishna and Krishna was pleased with them. Now take Mahabali. Mahabali was a very proud person, isn't it? Although Prahlada's grandson, he was very proud. And when Brahmachari form, Vamanamurti came, Mahabali's questions, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you can see how he, what he spoke to Mahabali spoke to Vamana Murthy. Mahabali says there that the you know who I am. That's how he starts the conversation, isn't it? Who I am. And I am Mahabali who control all the three planetary systems. And when Vamana Murthy asked for the 3 feet of land, Mahabali felt insulted. That is this what you come and ask me? When you are asking something from a person of that status, like Mahabali, you don't ask 3 feet of land. You ask something substantial than that. So Mahabali felt insulted and he mentioned this to Vamana Murthy. That indicated to Vamana Murthy the pride inside. And it is those words that Mahabali spoke through which Krishna pulled out everything from Mahabali. Mahabali had to hand over everything through that, isn't it? So initially, Mahabali handed over the earthly planet and then all the other planets through the second, the remaining planets through the second step. First step, the earthly planet and the remaining planets through the second step. And when the third step, when the third foot, where should I measure it? Asked to Vamana Murthy. Mahabali had no choice except to hand over, put his head down in front of Vamana Murthy. This you know in the Bhagavatam, this. So, that third feet, what Krishna has utilized, through that, Krishna took away Mahabali's false ego. Or Mahabali had to surrender his false ego as the third feet to the surrender to Krishna when the third feet was lifted. When the third feet was lifted. So you can see here, once the jiva ahanda or false ego goes away, jivatvam or the conditioned nature of the soul is released, and therefore Mahabali has gone back to he is totally liberated. And this is what is called Atmanivedanam. You remember the 9 processes: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnor Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. The 9th stage. So this 9th stage, Atmanivedanam, is the last thing, is the last of the 9 processes. And it is in the last stage, this we hand over our false ego to Krishna. Krishna comes and swallows the false ego. And we are not any more jivas after that. Our jivatvam is lost at that way. Because that is when our identification with the soul as we are, self-realized state, happened to Mahabali. So, Mahabali, through Atmanivedanam, of surrendering himself in that level, to such a level, that he got released from his state of existence in that way. So, like this, if you look in the Bhagavatam, Kardama Prajapati is Archanam. The deity worship Kardama Prajapati performed pleased to Krishna. Arjuna Sakhyam, friendship, pleased to Krishna. Hanuman's Kirtanam, pleased to Krishna. Parikshit Shravanam, pleased to Krishna. So, like this, all personalities are pleased to Krishna in different ways. Now, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there are 2 personalities, they pleased Krishna in another way. Completely different way. How is that? Hiranyaksha pleased Krishna. How? He punched on the chest of Varahamurti. Do you remember? When that fight happened between Varahamurti and Krishna, Varahamurti and Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha challenged Varahamurti, and that time Hiranyaksha punched on Varahamurti's chest a few times. After many lifetimes, Krishna says this. When does he say? He says to Mahabali. Krishna, Vamanamurti says to Mahabali, I have not forgotten that punches what your ancestor has given to me. You were born, he is glorifying Mahabali like this. Mahabali, you were born in that dynasty where you are one of your ancestors, Hiranyaksha, has given me that punch. I still enjoy that, he says. That punch is what you have given to me. So that is what has pleased Krishna at that time, Hiranyaksha's punches. Somebody else has punched Krishna like that. Who is that? In the Bhagavatam, you will see Jambavan punched Krishna like that. When Krishna entered into the cave, you know that pastime, after the Samantaka jewel was stolen, Prasena, who was Satrajit's brother, Satrajit was father of Satyabhama, and Satrajit's brother Prasena took this jewels and tied it around his neck, went for hunting. There a lion killed him and took that jewel away from him, and Jambavan saw the jewel. He killed the lion, took the jewel and went into his cave. He was living in his cave with his family. So Krishna got a bad name because of that. All that is in the Bhagavatam, you can read. So Krishna came looking for the jewel and entered into this cave and met Jambavan there. And Jambavan could not see who is Krishna. He only knew Ramachandra. He didn't know Krishna. So there was a fight between Krishna and Jambavan. There Jambavan punched Krishna, heavily punched. And Krishna recognized that later. Says to Jambavan, I'll never forget these punches, he says. So what pleases Krishna, nobody knows. We say chanting the holy name. Yes, Ajamila pleased Krishna by chanting the holy name. But so many different devotees have done different things, and that pleased Krishna. In this Krishna Karnamritam, Vilumangalam says to Krishna something different. Vilumangalam says to Krishna that, Ya Pridhar Vidurarpide Muraripo Kundyarpide Ya Drashi Ya Govardhana Mudhiyaja Praduge Stanye Yashodarpide Bharadvaja Samarpide Shabarika Dethe Dhare Yoshidam Ya Pridhar Munipatni Bhaktarejide Putra Pyatra Abhidam Tam Kuru. This is the last verse in the Krishna Karnamadam. He says there that once when you went to see as a representative of the Pandavas to negotiate the peace, you stayed in Vidura's house, and whatever Vidura's wife was offered you, you accepted that happily. What was that Vidura's wife offered? All the banana skins, isn't it? You had no difficulty accepting that. You were pleased with that. There was no difficulty at all. Similarly, Kunti Devi, thinking of you as a little child, offered you certain things. You have accepted that without any regret. You have no problems at all. In other words, offering done by Vidura's wife and offerings by Kunti Devi, all Krishna has accepted without any problems. Here she had no difficulty. Similarly, all the cowherd boys, when Govardhana Hill was lifted, at that point, they arranged a big feast. Krishna ate all of that, isn't it? All of that Krishna ate. And after eating everything, Krishna says, bring more. In the form of Govardhana Hill, Krishna came out. I am Govardhana, he said, isn't it? From inside the cave, he came out and started eating everything. So there was no problem there either. Similarly, when Sudama brought you that flat rice, which was even had a lot of stones in that, you ate that very happily. When Yashoda Devi gave you the breast milk, you drank that very happily. When Bharadwaja Maharshi, when you were in the forest, now he's referring to Ramachandra, when he came to the forest, Bharadwaja Maharshi gave Ramachandra and Lakshmana and Sita Devi the roots and the fruits from the forest. All those who came later, Bharadwaja Maharshi gave them a feast. But Ramachandra, Lakshmana and Sita Devi, Bharadwaja Maharshi gave them the roots and the fruits from the forest. You ate that. Shabari's ashram, you went there. Shabari gave you the fruits what she has bitten and given it to you to eat because she didn't know anything else. You accepted that. The gopis gave there, when you have kissed the gopis, the lips, the saliva from their mouth entered into your mouth and you felt pleased by that. Similarly, the wives of the sages in the forest, they offered you a feast. You have accepted that. All these things you had no difficulty in accepting. In other words, it was not based on the quality that it was accepted. It was accepted based purely on the devotion of the individuals involved. So that's what Vilumangalam says to Krishna, that Ya Pridhar Vidarpide Muraripo Kundyarpide Yadrashi. In all these things, all what matters was their devotion. Similarly, Krishna Karnamatam, I offering to you, please accept it. This is how Vilumangalam mentioned this to Krishna. This is the very last verse in the Krishna Karnamatam. So here Vishaya Nivartande Niraharasya Dehinam Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Paramdrishtva Nivartate. So Vishayam, unless the sense enjoyment, sense gratification is controlled, we cannot get closer to the soul. It is at that point Krishna is giving us this special process known as Nirahara Yogam. Little by little, whatever sense objects are giving trouble to us, depends on which sense object, isn't it? Everyone has different problems with senses. We all don't have the same problem. We all have different problems. Some people are attracted by the food. Some people are attracted by something else. So sense gratification is in different levels. Whichever that is giving us trouble to us, to our senses, Krishna says, Niraharasya Dehinam. Try to keep away from that. Try to keep away from that. If you do that, Krishna says, that in due course of time, because if you know what vasana you have stronger inside, that you only know, which is your weakness, what your weakness is. So wherever you feel that you have a weakness, that particular sense objects, you stay away from that. That is Krishna's instruction. We'll discuss it tomorrow. Not tomorrow, Monday we'll do it. Monday we'll start. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.